This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, guys. We've got Coach Hopkins here. Please raise your hand if you have a question, and we'll get started with Percy.
Hey, Percy.
Hey there, Mr. Michael Hopkins. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay. Hanging in. Hey, I'm curious about your team here. You have a squad that hasn't played in very many close games, just four decided by 10 points or less. When you have that situation, how do you, just for lack of a better word, how do you teach him how to win? How do you teach him how to win close games?
Well, we kind of we'll go through a reenactment of the end. You know, the Montana game, we missed some foul shots, which can happen, and then they made 2 threes. So there's, you know, both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive execution. Oregon, 3. In this last game, you know, we just got to close it. We've got to focus. You know, and then it goes back to execution. And sometimes we lose our focus, goes in and out. I thought the UCLA game was the most consistent that we've been in a 40-minute game of executing and then managing runs and coming back and executing. But that's the only way you can is teaching them, you know, you can't turn it over. You got to make foul shots, and then you got to be able to get stops. And that goes back to executing our defense. And, you know, you practice it, you simulate it, and then you hope that when they are out there that they can focus and we can remind them, and then they can execute better.
And then just to fast forward a bit to Colorado, or I guess to maybe look back at that last game, last time you played them, that game got out of hand real quick. After 10 minutes, I believe you guys were down 20. Yeah. Just anything that the things that you could take from that game that'll help you on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously being ready to battle from the first, like we did at UCLA, they tried to hit it. They hit us first, and we didn't stop them. You know, now the good thing on the offensive end is we're making shots. I think that's a big part of starting well is, you know, our offense is, we're moving the ball a little bit better, but guys are making shots, and that changes things. And I think the combination, like I said, I'm going to go back and reference the UCLA game because it was just more of the 40 minutes throughout the 40 minutes of consistency, and that was a great sign. And we're going to have to do that because Colorado's really, really good. They're really physical, and we're going to have to, you know, be able to handle that. I think we've made some adjustments defensively that can help us in our last game, but they've got a high level shooting team. They got the number one free throw shooting team in the country. They've got a veteran team. They've got an all league, all American type point guard. They've got size and they've got shooting, and they've got obviously a really good coach. So it's going to be a heck of a challenge for us for sure.
All right, Hop. Thank you for your time. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, of course.
Lauren, go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, Hop. How are you?
Good, Lauren. How are you?
Good. You mentioned those adjustments defensively, and you said you kind of put those in the day before the UCLA game. Do you expect now that you've had more time to work on them to kind of see more of an impact?
I think so. We just tried to simplify things for the guys, and where we were things ever, foolproof, but we're, you know, I thought the guys after yesterday really embraced it, and you know, it was better. It was better for sure. We saw an improvement in practice. But again, you know, in the live, in the arena against a top team, now we, you know, we'll see what happens.
And then looking back, I mean, the first half against UCLA was probably one of the better defensive performances you guys have had. What did you like? What did you see in that first half?
We were talking. We were really, really executing. We rebounded the ball. We were only -1 in the first half. That was a huge part of the game. And then we made shots offensively. But the biggest thing was, is you know, we were doing really good defensively. A couple of our breakdowns, they got three-pointers off of offensive rebounds and then one breakdown. But for the most part, we rebounded well. We held them to one shot, and then we were able to make shots on the offensive end. The second half was a different story, but against a great team like UCLA, you knew they were going to come out strong. And we just, you know, we were negative 10 rebounds in the second half. That's a moving forward, be a big, huge part of this thing moving forward.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris Fetters. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Hop. I just was curious. First of all, is Nate Pryor going to be available for tomorrow?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also just a general question, you know, obviously you've broken down the film of the USC and UCLA games. We got your gut reactions, obviously, post-game on both those. But now that you've had a chance to really digest them, what did you see against UCLA that you really feel were kind of moments where the switch really flipped and you were able to know that's what you got going forward?
We tried to simplify, Chris, even offensively. You know, we just tried to simplify, and we were more poised and patient. We didn't take as quick a shots as we've had in the past. We waited for better shots. That's important. Yeah, that's a big important thing. And that's when I think the guys feel comfortable. We had good spacing, guys screened for each other better. And then making shots is obviously a huge thing. But for the most part, you know, I was really, really proud of the way that they've improved offensively. They put a lot of work into their shooting, and you can see the result of that. And obviously we still have a long way to go, but, you know, there's good signs. But I think the poise part of it and the patience part of it on the offensive end has been huge.
And also defensively, we've touched on takeaways. Do you feel like is that a byproduct of as you guys get better and there's more communication and that kind of thing? Or are there specific things that you have to drill and really hammer home with these guys as they continue to grow in it?
Well, obviously, you know, playing with energy, active hands, that's where you get deflections. Understanding where you're supposed to be, you know, just like in good man-to-man, good any defense, you defend the ball. And the team defends the ball, not just one player. And you know, that's a huge part of it, is just being in the right position. And so, you know, Matisse Thybul, he had the right position, but then he also – could run a 4.240 and has a 7-foot wingspan. So there's some physical attributes to that too. You know, it's a lot of it is position and effort, and then obviously execution.
Thanks, Hop.
You're welcome.
Hey, Hop, thanks for the time.
Yes, Andy.
So, you know, Riley Sorn kind of stepped up big in that last game, especially when Nate got into some foul trouble. What in your perfect world would Riley Sorn's role look like night to night?
You know, to be honest with you, it's all about his energy. When he has energy, he's a different player. And when he doesn't, you know, he doesn't help us to the level. And that's really for anybody, but especially Riley. He's a big dude, you know, getting up and down the court. But he is getting better. He's getting more confident. The guys are confident in him. He's understanding the zone better. You know, we expect that now. Now it becomes the consistency part, right, of knowing what you're going to get night in and night out. But he's been a heck of a player for us.
Definitely, definitely. And then, you know, Jamal Bey and Eric Stevenson's three-point shooting looked miles ahead of where they may have been at the beginning of the season. You know, what can you guys do to facilitate that and keep them going this weekend?
Just keep playing them. They're great players. And even if they miss a couple, they got to keep shooting, especially just good shots. You know, we're getting better shots. We're getting more shots in rhythm, and they're just playing confident. And, you know, that's a big part of this. And they're hard workers. They work on their game consistently. They're always in the gym. Whenever I walk by, they're always shooting. They're always working. And you're starting to see the result, which I'm really, really happy for them and happy for the team. And proud of them.
Thanks, Hop.
Thank you.
So, Moz, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Hop, how you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Hey, on a team that's learning how to win, you talked about patience and poise. I'm just wondering how much discipline and good decision-making is being stressed as well as part of that package.
Well, it is, but that's what happens with poise. When you play really good defensive teams or good teams in general, when you have the lead, they just start trying to amp up their defense. They try to overplay. They might trap. They might do a lot of different things because they're trying to create turnovers and more possessions. And that's where our poise and execution and not panic has to come in. And, you know, that's just a big part of it. And that goes back into when you're not that, you probably make rush decisions. You turn it over. That's, they try to speed you up, play faster than you normally play. And so, yeah, that's an all is a byproduct of the poise piece for sure.
And there's no fans, but there's something to be said about you all coming back home and shooting on a familiar rim and getting ready for a big game. I wonder if you can just talk about that.
Just being at home is a great thing. Sleeping in your own bed, getting in your gym that you shoot every day. It's a big part of it. And obviously we wish our fans were here because it just gives us a different type of boost. The dog pack, our fans are just incredible. Miss them, obviously, but you know, it's good to be home, and we're looking forward to getting that opportunity tomorrow night against Colorado.
Thank you.
All right, Kim Grinnell, go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Coach. The UCLA game, towards the end of the game, it appeared they punched you in the mouth a couple of times, punched you in the nose, but you guys didn't back down. They came back and punched back. How big of a deal was that from what you saw and looking at the game film, and how big is that?
Just shows you that you're growing and you're getting resilient. You're becoming, you know, we've come back in a lot of games, but we had the lead here. They took it, and then we took it back. And we were, you know, just like in any heavyweight championship fight, right? There's going to be runs. It's a game of runs. It just goes back to, you know, how can you execute? In the last 3 minutes, you know, we had a bobbled ball that ended up in 2 points. We had an offensive foul that ended up in, you know, go on the other end. And, you know, there's a few of those plays that just can't happen when you're in winning time in those last 4 minutes. And we'll learn from it. We'll grow from it. These experiences are invaluable. And, we'll simulate it. And then they've got to be able to go out and execute it. And they're getting better at it for sure.
And just one more, just rebounding. I mean, just the extra possessions the other teams are getting on rebounding. How much of that's want to, how much of it's effort, how much of it's talent, and what can you do to get better on that?
Well, Kim, that's a great question. I think the adjustment that we're making, and again, it now goes back to execution, but the adjustment that we're making should help that. And then it goes back to that. There's a gritty part of that for sure. You know, it's a mindset. But now we feel that we'll be in better position to be able to defensive rebound better for sure. That will be a big part of it. But grit and toughness, those types of things, and want to are all stuff that we preach every day. And it's, you know, now you just got to be able to go out and execute it. But, you know, the first half, they got one of the best offensive rebounding teams. We were -1, which was great. We held them to 29 points. Second half, you know, it needed, instead of 10, it needed to be 5. You know, it needed to be 5. And so rebounding, obviously, moving forward, especially tomorrow, will be huge.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll be back with Eric Stevenson here shortly. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. We have Eric Stevenson here. So please use the raise hand function if you have a question, and we will get to you. Percy, go ahead and get us started.
Cool. Hey, Eric. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it. Hey, the last time we talked was after your big game against Cal. And I remember that you made a comment about just the importance of team chemistry and like guys, trusting each other, making that extra pass, just in that regard. Obviously, it's only been a few weeks just from then to now, but just the things that you've seen in that category.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a big part of any team. But we definitely improved in that aspect, I feel. It hasn't showed up where we want it to show up, but it's definitely shown up from a team camaraderie standpoint. And I think from an offensive standpoint, I think we're getting better shots, which makes it easier to put it in the hole, which makes it easier to score. So, I think we've improved in that aspect for sure.
And then just to the point of just a team that hasn't played in very many close games. So this last game, it was a close game, and it comes down to the wire. When you as a team, just with this group, you just haven't been in that situation a lot. How do you find a way to prevail once you're in those spots?
I think that just comes down to mental toughness. obviously, experience would play a major factor in that. But just being tough and just understanding that any good team is going to punch you back. You know, there was no way we were going to I mean, unless everything went right, but there was no way we were going to get up 10.5, you know, and UCLA was just going to, you know, fold and let us win the game like that. So, like I said, any good team is going to punch you in the mouth. I feel like we responded. I mean, obviously we responded. We stayed in the game. With just a couple timely mistakes, you know, it just happens. I just got to move on to the next one.
Awesome, Eric. Thank you.
Lauren, go ahead, Lauren.
Hey, Eric. Hop talked about making some adjustments defensively and kind of simplifying things. What has that been like working in practice? And do you see that maybe making a difference for you guys defensively?
Yeah, he's tried to make adjustments for sure this last week. So obviously it's a change. You know, it's something we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to get down and we're going to have to master and we're going to have to, you know, rep it out. But I feel like, you know, it'll help us rebound a little bit better. Might give us some inside positioning from the start, you know, when the shot goes up. And so obviously it's easier to rebound when you're on the inside of the offensive player. So might help us out in that aspect. But yeah, to your point, probably just you just got to rep it out and get the reps and, you know, translate that to the game.
And obviously there aren't moral victories, but for you guys, do you feel like this team got a little bit of a boost from that performance against UCLA?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm not the guy to look at moral victories, but from a team aspect, I feel like we did, you know, get a little bit of a boost mentally. You know, we're playing with confidence, playing with a little bit of swag. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it definitely gave us a little bit of a morale victory. But from a personal standpoint, I don't really look at that type of stuff. So, yeah.
All right, Eric. Thanks.
Yep.
Chris Fetters, go ahead, Chris Fetters.
Yeah, Eric. Appreciate you doing this. I was curious. You talked about the team morale and whatnot, and I was also curious about the team meeting that took place in LA, and we've heard from Jamal and Kwade and Coach Hop about it. As a new guy who's trying to fit in and trying to find your niche, tell me what were kind of the main takeaways from that meeting from your standpoint.
Pretty much just, you know, coming together and coming to a collective agreement on, you know, playing hard and playing for one another. That was pretty much the gist of that whole meeting, was just, you know, becoming a team and becoming a hardworking group of guys that are playing for each other.
From your perspective, was it necessary?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say obviously, yeah. I mean, if we're struggling with our, you know, getting wins on the board, so anything, you know, anything was necessary to, you know, just to kind of get some words out, get some feelings out, and, you know, trying to come together collectively as a unit.
Also curious about, you know, you were talking about that swagger when, you know, when you see the ball go down and whatnot, there were some moments when you were on fire and you were looking for the ball and whatnot. And for those of us that didn't get a chance to see a lot of Wichita State games, for instance, or when you were playing in Olympia, is that kind of your game in a nutshell? When you're starting to feel it, you're calling for it.
From a personal standpoint, I don't even have to be on fire to be looking for the ball, to be honest. I've kind of just been a scorer my whole life. So, obviously, that hasn't shown or that didn't show, you know, the first third or whatever of the season. But, yeah, I mean, I'm always looking to score. I'm always looking to help the team offensively, defensively as well. But, like, from a scorer standpoint, in the top of the conversation, obviously, offensively. But, yeah, my role is – on every team, really, that I've been on is to put the ball in the basket and help that team in that aspect.
Great. Thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Eric, you've been pretty successful everywhere you've been State High School Tournament, Wichita State ranked team. Has the losing this year been a real shock to your system?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this has definitely not been what I'm used to, you know, used to being a part of. But it is what it is. You know, I got to deal with it. I got to get through it. I got to be here for my teammates. You know, we got to stick together and trying to get some wins. You know what I mean? So, obviously we're not looked at as one of the teams like, we got Washington on the schedule. We really got to lock in for the week, you know, like people are going to take us lightly. And I feel as though UCLA did that. Especially the first 20 minutes of that game. And then obviously Coach Cronin probably got into them a little bit at half. And then I realized, you know, our record, I don't think our record represents, you know, our talent level, our dedication, our work. You know, so teams like I said, teams are probably going to take us lightly. So probably just a good opportunity for us to squeeze in some wins and try and get some momentum.
Hey, Eric, everybody knows you're a shooter. Can you kind of give us your definition of being open? I'm taking the shot to, yeah, I'm passing this.
That's hard to answer, honestly. It's more of just like a feel, you know, more of a rhythm, like a feel type of deal. You know, if my feet are in rhythm, you know, I feel good about the opportunity to put the ball in the hole. How defense is playing me, you know, how they've been playing me in the game. Yeah, I mean, a guy like myself, I always have the mindset, like if I get it, you know, I got to make a play with it, right? I got to do something for the team, that, you know, positively, whether it's me put the ball in the hole or find an opportunity to get my teammates involved. So yeah, it's more so of a rhythm and a feel than I'm just going to shoot it whenever I touch it type of deal.
Is shooting, is that something just, is that God-given or is there teaching, technique, practice? What does it take? Is it just better putting up shots?
At this level is reps for sure. High school and below, I mean, that's pretty much just, I'd say that's God-given. You know, there's good shooters in high school that become college players and can't shoot, you know, so it's all about reps and spending time in the gym and developing your mind to be able to make shots at this level. So yeah, it's just reps and mindset for sure.
And just one more real quick, defensively, where are you?
Where am I defensively?
Where do you feel you're at with your defensive game?
Still learning, obviously. I'm still learning the zone. You know, still learning rotations and positioning and whatnot. And obviously it's been a change, you know, coming from a strictly man-to-man program. So, yes, you're still learning.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.